on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison, Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What is going on, everybody? Day three coming to you from Phoenix Radio Row here in Phoenix, Super Bowl LVII. What was that again?
57.
57, okay. So I talked to a lot of the MMA fighters, the combat fighters, about how awesome it is that people are recognizing them.
Right.
Our first guest today has lived both worlds. Sean Merriman, the NFL world, and now you're into the combat world as well. So do you get as big a kick, you know, that all these guys are being recognized as a promoter yourself?
Yeah, no, I love it. And for me, you know, I always say this, the MMA, right, in combat sports is going to catch up with the celebrity of a top NFL player, NBA player. And you need a couple of guys to kind of break through that mold. And I would say Conor would probably be the first one, where I don't care if you've never watched a MMA fight before in your life, you know who Conor McGregor is. Right. And so you'll have more and more. I've seen Sean O'Malley, yeah, walking around, one of my favorite guys I love to watch. You're having some of these guys now that are recognized on a platform like the, you know, Super Bowl Radio Row.
Now, there are a few others from yesterday. From, you know, back in the day. And last year, I witnessed two things on Radio Row last year. One, Joe Montana stopped at our booth when I had my good friend Chuck Liddell on.
Yep.
And the other was when Chuck Liddell kind of attacked somebody from behind.
Well, you know what? Chuck is always good for that. And I know now that whenever I'm in a public space and I know that MMA fighters could be there, I'm tucked away, because I know that Chuck could be coming up behind me. And he's... So let me tell you, the first time we met, he did that to me in a club at the Pro Bowl. And we squared up, playing, you know, jokefully.
Right.
We squared up.
But people don't know that.
And people don't know that.
Right.
And so all the security is kind of looking at us like, we ain't breaking up this fight. Right. I'm like, right. And so we kind of, you know, tussled around, cheer, laughing on the ground in the middle of the club, my first year at my rookie Pro Bowl. And we're there, we're bawling, laughing, crying, laughing. Obviously, we wanted to go get drinks after that, so it was good.
And I thought of that, because we were walking out. We were getting ready to go to lunch.
Yeah.
And then I saw him go and grab you and figured that you knew each other, but you don't know that it's him grabbing you from behind, right? So I was a little concerned at first, and then, you know, all the laughter and stuff.
Well, because your first reaction is like, someone got a hell of a grip, right? It's not like... This isn't a regular grip. This is a grip of somebody who can cause some damage, right? And you turn around like, oh, who's that? And, you know, when you turn around and see it's Chuck Liddell, then you just...
You know all's good.
Yeah, all right. Is good.
Whatever
is good.
Happens is good. The only other one, I went to see Larry the Cable Guy about 2 weeks ago, and Steve took a photo. We're both on our phones. And so it looks like we're not really caring about each other. We're doing our own thing. We both were looking for our photo with Chuck to show each other. You know, Larry's like, yeah, here's my photo with Chuck Liddell. It's Chuck is Chuck.
Yeah, man, one of the best to do it, and just one of the great souls of the sport. He was probably the first one before, I would say before Conor, that was recognized. You knew that Mohawk when he walked in. It's like, okay, that's the Iceman. And you know, now to see where the sport has gone and kind of cross paths over different, you know, sports, where they're just iconic now.
Well, I would say, you know, a lot of football players, it's hard to recognize them in real life. I mean,
yeah,
you hear at Media Row, the helmet, the shield, the blacked out lenses. I mean, so, you know, I think MMA has the potential of being more recognizable globally because it's so raw. You see their tattoos, you see their body, their structure, no helmet on. So I think it has the potential to eventually be maybe number one in the world.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And also, too, with MMA and just combat sports in general, it's a global sport.
It is.
Right? And, you know, they're watching it in China. They're watching it in South America. They're watching it in Central America. They're watching MMA and fights everywhere. And even our last fight that we had for Lights Out Extreme Fighting, we were shown in France and Spain. And I had, like, fighters from Spain in my DMs.
Wow.
Or, you know, I'm right. Like, first of all, I don't even know – they don't watch football over there. They right. probably don't know who I am,
right.
but they know me from, you know, from MMA.
Talk about that transition. You know, how did it go? You know, a lot of NFL players, a lot of other, you know, sports athletes love the sport, but they don't get into it.
Yeah.
You know, some have started to do a little training. We have Chris Hovan now training a little bit in Tampa. But how did you transfer it over and now having your own promotion?
Well, you know, the funny part was I got into it back in 2005, 2006 during the offseason. So I grew up in Prince George's County, Maryland, in the DMV where there was a lot of boxers. Right? There were championship boxers. I mean, I remember growing up, we have championship boxers in my neighborhood just coming to hang out. And so in 2005, Jay Glazer over at Fox Sports said, hey, I know you box, but have you ever done any MMA? I think it'll help you out doing some right. football stuff. And I said, okay, cool. Whatever help football, drop me an address. I'll be there. Right. He sent me an address. I show up the next day. I walk into a gym. Jay Glazer's on my left. Randy Couture's on my right. And I'm looking like, hey, hold on. Is this a setup?
You're starting at the top.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I'm like, it's, yeah,
there's nowhere to go.
You have an Uber or something to take you down a dark alley. You're like, hold on, am I getting robbed here? Like, right. what's going on? And I walked in. And so at the time, I didn't know that he was just teaching me how to pummel and teach me, you know, leverage and you know, body control, opening hips, those type of things. And every year I just started to train and with Chuck and Tito and you know, some of the best in the sport. In 2018, I launched Lights Out Extreme Fighting, and that came from really not only just having a love and a passion of the sport, but also understanding production, because I've been in TV also for a very long time, and NFL Network and Fox Sports and all these, you know, networks doing football, so I knew how TV works. And so that transition was easier for me than it would be for, you know, most other people.
I reached out to a friend of mine, Scott Yeager, and he wanted, first, he loves you. He loves you to death. And Scott said to bring up, was it a fencing against CM Punk?
Yeah.
What happened?
It was total BS. It was total. Look, so.
Honestly, that's what he said to us.
Yeah. Oh, no. There okay. was. And the thing is, they had. So let me tell you how the whole thing started with CM. And we're good now. We're really
oh,
good.
Oh, I didn't know. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So okay. it was a thing behind it. We had a little know. Spat back in like the mid or late, you know, 2000s or something like that. And I was in Costa Rica. WWE was having an event, and we were at the same hotel. And I noticed a couple people that I knew from WWE, and one of the divas there that was from San Diego. So I seen her. I said, "Oh, what are you guys doing out here?" And she said, "Well, we got a show, and let me know what y'all are doing later on. I'll send you some tickets if you want to come." She left. Everything's good. Next thing I know, I looked down at my Twitter, and I'm trending. Right. So I'm like, "What the hell is going on?" Well, CM Punk goes and say, "I got dissed by a diva." By the pool. I'm like, dude, are you kidding me? I know her from, you know, from San Diego, and I was planning on coming to the show tonight. And so I just went back at him and said he was in a thong tanning and, you know, putting toenail paint and stuff. I mean, just I went back. Right. But anyway, it was a big, big deal. And then fast forward, I get a call from The Challenge on MTV. And they said, hey, you know, we want you to be on. And I said, the dates don't match up. So 2 weeks go by. I told them I couldn't do it. 2 weeks they called by with a better offer and a different date.
Right.
They said, hey, could you do this date? They just doubled the offer, what they were going to pay me. I said, sure. I got there, signed on. The first person I walk in when I check in was CM. I said, hold on.
Another setup.
I said, yeah, you guys are trying to start something here. But anyway, they had one segment on there where I thought we were going to get some combat in, some kind of fighting or something. Because there was a competition. It just happened the following week. So I got eliminated in this fencing game by CM, which just ate me up inside, right? Sure. So you're blindfolded, you know, fencing. So the first person to get hit, you got three tries. And I still think I won, but, you know, the replay showed that I didn't,
right?
But so, yeah, no, we're good now. CM, I think, in my opinion, is probably the ultimate villain of wrestling. He's like top three of all time.
I'm not even going to say of wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, I think CM... You know, Phil Brooks is the heel, you know, in everything. He was in MMA. Nobody yep. wanted him to succeed,
yeah.
which I was against. I mean, how can you hold back somebody who's trying something?
Right.
He didn't succeed at it, but at least he tried. He had the basketballs to attempt
yeah.
to fight a professional MMA fighter.
Yeah, and it's not easy, right? You're going from entertainment. I would never say wrestling's fake, because when I was training down at the Performance Arts, I found out very, very quickly that
scripted. They said it's
yeah,
scripted.
Okay.
It's not
yeah,
fake.
Scripted. It's scripted, but nothing about that. I call it a sport because those guys are real athletes.
Yeah.
And so for him getting in the cage from where he came from, I mean, that's, you know, and he didn't go against a slouch. This guy, he was pretty good. So
Chuck, I'm just showing the text message.
So yeah, I give him credit for doing it and trying something else, even though he wasn't successful at it.
Absolutely. So, a lot of times, you know, we all do certain songs. Our country boy is Matt Hughes. Nobody else can play that.
Right.
On and on and on. Well, Chris Lytle goes by Lights Out. Should we, like, have, like, a dark match somewhere to see who keeps that up?
What's his weight?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah. We can do a bare knuckle thing.
Yeah, well, look.
I don't think it matters.
Yeah, no, it's you know, you're talking about apples and oranges.
So we talk about Phil Brooks. We know he comes from the WWE.
Yep.
Right? So he had a big platform. He had a big name. So it was easy for him to transition into MMA promotion. How do you find your fighters at LXF? Like, how do you recruit and how do you get people involved in your promotion?
I got it. For one, I have a great team to facilitate everything. Great matchmakers, operations, production. I've brought in the best possible people. But also, too, I know these gyms. I've trained in them. You know, 15 to 20 different gyms in the country. All the way from, you know, Extreme Couture in Vegas to Alliance down in San Diego and, you know, Body Shop in Long Beach and Black House. So I know these guys. They know me. And right. So what happens is, especially after the last viewership, the numbers we put up on Fubo, now you have people in the DMs like, hey, I'm trying to get on the card now. So it's been cool. And two, if you talk to any former football player, the first thing they'll tell you is they don't miss the politics of football. They don't miss, you know, feeling like crap and beat up. But they'll tell you they miss the locker room. Right. Everyone will tell you they miss the locker room. And for me, it's been therapeutic because I love being around these men and women, like these MMA guys. I love it. You know, when I train with them and I'm in there just to kind of stay in shape and you know, light sparring and whatever. But something might kick off over in the corner and I'm looking like, oh, yeah, you know, this is great. You know, it's like me being back in the locker room.
Hey, has anybody maybe known or maybe not known, just, hey, there's that big guy over there. I'm going to test him. Has anybody ever done that?
Well, there's been a few times in Black House that, you know, we've had open mats on Fridays. And I'll go in there just to get my workout in. And, you know, somebody's feeling a little extra good that day. And so, we'll get after it a while. But I also know I'm smart enough that if this guy's training for a fight, he is in tip-top shape. He's ready to go. I'm not, right? And so I'll start to tame it down a little bit. But I've had some run-ins. And Body Shop, too. I've been in some brawls in Body Shop as well.
Can you compare the team of an NFL team to the team in an MMA gym? You know, I've been in NFL locker rooms. You know, I know the how close-knit it is. And then I know that my gym, my Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu team, can you compare the two?
It's very similar, man. It's very similar because the crazy thing is MMA is a one-on-one sport in the cage, right? But your team is not necessarily in the cage fighting with you, but they are part of the process and you getting there and also keeping you on that game plan. So it's the same thing. It's you know, if a guy makes a mistake and he gets coached by his team, it's the same thing as somebody on the field in the wrong gap, right? Your coach drew up the perfect play, but you weren't in the gap that drew up. Some of these guys have a game plan and don't stick to it and start doing uncharacteristic things. It's the same thing on the field. You know, guy, I can get a sack. I'm going to come in a C-gap because I think I can get a sack. Whoop, he goes around. That wasn't the game plan. And there's a lot of similarities when you look at it like that.
Since we are on Radio Row for the Super Bowl, I guess we should ask a question or two about Sunday.
Sure.
Give me your thoughts.
Well, I picked up against Patrick Mahomes last week. And it was a mistake because I didn't know where he was health-wise. Mm-hmm. And I've had that high ankle sprain before. And I walked around in a boot for a week and a half. So I was like, there's no way in hell this guy's going to be, you know, they'll get him out the pocket, get him using his legs. He won't be able to perform and throw a ball down the field. Not only did he do that, he did it against number two and number three wide receivers with his backup guys. Right. And not only that, he iced the game with his legs at the end, right, using his legs, get that first down at the end of the game.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say this week, he wasn't playing the best team in football. That's it. You're not going to beat the Philadelphia Eagles with a backup wide receiver. You're not going to be able to beat them running around with your legs. They're too fast. They're too good. They have 9 or 10 guys in that defensive line that's constantly rotating. And let me tell you, for anybody out there listening that don't know, when you got a Hall of Fame or Pro Bowler coming off the bench fresh, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
And that's why they led the league in sacks, and that's why they led the league in pressures, turnovers, and those things, because those guys love to get after it. And they have no weaknesses on that defense side of the ball. There's not one guy you can point out and say, you know what, we're going to take advantage of that guy this week. They don't have that guy.
So Dana said Eagles.
Yeah.
And Dana said, if I'm picking the Eagles, bet Kansas City. But he was sure he was going to lose. So you're saying Philly.
I'm saying Philly because I'm looking all the ways. As great as Patrick Mahomes is, as great as Travis Kelce is, there's only one thing that Travis Kelce can do to really hurt that team, and that's work the middle of the field. Get isolated on the linebacker. Get isolated on a strong safety. But they're so good, they don't need to switch and do anything else. They have a guy who can take on Travis Kelce. They have a defensive scheme who can live up to what they're trying to do. So there's no weaknesses on that defense.
So Sean Merriman says, yeah, bet Kelce. Kelce will win on Sunday.
Yo, Travis.
No, I know.
I'm
just saying there's two.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, which Kelce?
Which?
There you go. That's my bet.
That's your bet.
You can never lose.
Bet Kelce. So before you leave, talk one more time about your promotion, Lights Out Promotion, when the next one is and how people can watch.
Yeah, Lights Out Extreme Fighting. We're now on Fubo Sports, Fubo TV. So if you don't have Fubo, get it. We got a big fight coming up April 8th in Burbank. And we're going to announce the card next week. We're waiting for the couple guys to sign on right now. And we just, what's cool, we moved into that top 10 spot, most viewed on Fubo Sports ever from the last fight that we had. But more importantly, just giving these guys an opportunity to be. Yeah, we understand there's other, bigger promotions and things like that. But there's so many fighters that don't have an opportunity to be seen. And they're trying to get out there. These guys have been training. We have amateur fights and we have pro fights. And I'm working on it right now to get it all shown on Fubo.
I've said for years, and I believe this, I believe John Jones is the GOAT, okay? With that said, I believe there's someone somewhere better. Maybe he hasn't even fought yet.
Right.
Because he doesn't have that opportunity. He doesn't have, a promotion close or to go to. So
yeah, and let's be real. I mean, no one's starting in the UFC at 0-0, right? You gotta come somewhere and have fights. And why not do it with Lights Out Extreme Fighting? Because we have a big platform. Also, I promote the hell out of the guys. That's the funnest part for me. Even being able to be here on this radio role and talking about MMA during the biggest game in the country. And that's been really cool for me.
I know we briefly talked about this 3 years ago. Let's do a weekly something, with your fighters. Let's get a fighter on. We do a weekly segment with the Ultimate Fighter and with Tough and this, that, the other. Let's do that with you as well.
Absolutely. We would love that. I would love to come on too as well. We can talk fighting all day. I enjoyed it. We talked 80% fighting, 20% of the game just now. That's been cool.
Well, and that's what Knockout Radio is known for. I'm in the Buccaneer locker room every day, and they love. We're talking fights.
Right.
We're not talking about Sunday or last week. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sean, thank you very much for your time again. We'll talk on Twitter probably tonight. I'll get your address. We're going to mail you a care package from 8-Man Strong, as well as a case of salsa from Blue Smoke. Salsa out of West Virginia. Best stuff ever.
You got it, man. You guys are the best, man. Thanks for having me.
We have been forgetting about the Mission belt, too. So we're going to send you a belt.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So, need that.
Good stuff.
Thanks guys. Sean. Appreciate it.
All right, let's go hit a break. Coming to you live from Radio Row. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong and Stats.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's Joel Romero here and the Knockout Radio.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Hofacker and Associates Realty has proudly served the greater St. Petersburg area for over 50 years. Their trusted and experienced agents will help you with your first home, your dream home, and your forever home. Hofacker and Associates are Tampa Bay's land experts. In addition to real estate, they've added a sea division to assist you with all your watercraft needs, from entry-level boating to experienced yachtsmen. They are land and sea experts. Hofacker and Associates, helping people live the Florida lifestyle. Visit HofackerHomes.com.
It all starts here. The Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, roars along the spectacular waterfront of beautiful downtown St. Petersburg. Are you ready? be here. March 3rd to the 5th, the NTT IndyCar Series headlines an action-packed weekend of racing under the sun.
Scott McLaughlin, he is now an IndyCar race winner!
Advance tickets start at $25. Get yours now. The Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, March 3rd to 5th. Be here.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Alicia Calloway from the Australian Outback, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Back, this is Knockout Radio coming to you live, day three of Media Row at Super Bowl 57. And I'm surprised you didn't set the record straight, Randy Harris. You're a journalist.
Hold on a second.
You got to stay true to the facts.
Sean Merriman said, "What is Chris Lytle way?" Yeah. Meaning, if we're going to fight for the lights out, it's Sean Merriman versus Chris Lytle.
Right.
Come on, I weigh more than Chris Lytle, so yeah, maybe I should have.
Well, but when you said he said nobody starts their record 0-0 in the UFC. Factually,
I think
Phil Brooks.
I'm pretty sure Phil Brooks
came in 0-0
and left 0-1. What?
I don't know.
0-2. I think it was 0-2.
Yeah, he lost to Mickey.
You know, he had that. I think it. Yeah.
I'm sure a lot. Brock Lesnar came in 0-0. I mean, I can't imagine Brock Lesnar having a
Brock had a fight before the UFC.
Did he?
I think CM Punk did have a fight before. He was 0-1. I think. You know, when he came over. But yeah, Brock. It was an awful fight in California. I think he fought like a professional wrestler or something.
Okay.
You know, so it's still, it doesn't matter who, you know, it's just that it was. So.
Were you afraid to set the record straight in case Sean got mad? I mean,
yes.
Were you really?
Yes.
He's a big human.
He is a very large man.
Is he one of those guys that fights, like punches helmets on the football field too? Like what's the strategy behind that?
Do you know where he got the name Lights Out from?
No.
I don't know if it was 3 or 4. Okay. You know, I don't remember anything, and I don't do research.
Right.
I don't remember if it was 3 or 4. We're going to go with it was 4.
Okay.
He knocked 4 players out in a football game once.
Oh, wow.
3 in the first half, 1 in the second. You know what? I'm not correcting anything. He could say that I'm a Martian, and I will go with it.
Okay. Fair enough.
We're going to do the segment, and then at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk about, can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
All right, anybody that's listening nationwide, worldwide, we're on YouTube, we're on Twitter, we're adding more things while we're out here. Just for the next 10 seconds, turn the volume down.
Okay.
The main reason I am in Phoenix, Arizona is for, and I'll say it when they come here, is the event on Saturday. It's called the Taste of the NFL.
Yes.
And that will be my intro when they come on at the bottom of the hour.
Yes,
so
I
am looking forward to that.
Years ago, at the Taste of the NFL, I got a chance to wear Dexter Jackson's MVP Super Bowl ring from your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Still one of the greatest photos and moments of my career. And it happened at the NFL Experience. Not to mention that the food was fantastic.
I don't know why I'm playing with all these buttons, but I'm trying to fix your sound a little bit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I want to make sure everybody can hear me.
Or at least somebody can.
It's a lot of Cowboys on Media Row today. A lot of ex-Cowboys.
A lot of Cowboy fans.
Okay. I mean, you know, there's one super fan. But Dak Prescott's over there sitting on the couch just chilling like it's like a normal day.
So I have always said, and I've told anybody and everybody that's ever been involved, worked with, tried to work with, quit, whatever, that if you're going to do something, and I'll say it so you don't get fined $7.77, if you're ever going to do anything unprofessional,
yes,
make sure when you're unprofessional, it's worthy.
Yes.
You know, don't get a picture of someone dressed as Mickey Mouse.
Right.
I'm just saying, you know.
Right. Unless it's Walt himself.
I don't want to be anywhere near Walt himself.
Really?
Well, no, Walt's dead.
Well.
So I prefer to be nowhere near anything of his remains. But, you know, I've always said make it worth it. Make it, if you lose your credentials, if you lose your job,
right,
if you lose the ability to cover. I did it once. You know, you do it all the time, even for stuff that's not worth losing credentials. I was at Affliction. I was at Tim Sylvia versus Fedor. I remember it vividly. And I did the most unprofessional thing I have ever done. I jumped in the ring.
Well, not just jumped in the ring. You went into the ring to get a photo with
Donald Trump. Now, this was before he was President Trump.
Right.
You know, but, you know, I liked the show. I liked all that stuff. So, yeah. So I jumped in there just to get a photo with Donald Trump.
Well, going back to the Sean Merriman interview, he was talking about how he lost the fencing competition to Phil Brooks, or otherwise known as CM Punk. And he said that he didn't think he lost, but the replay said otherwise. And I was going to make a Trump reference about the election and not accepting the results.
Yeah, that's good.
Let it go to the judges. Yeah, you got to take it out of the judges' hands in every sport, no matter what it is, whether it's fencing or combat sport.
Absolutely. So the unprofessionalism of Steve, I don't remember which cowboy it was yesterday. And he ran over.
That's like CeeDee Lamb.
Okay. He ran over like the second coming of Emmett Smith was here.
He got drafted to the practice squad after that maneuver. He zigged and he zagged through Media Row. He jumped the barricade.
Yep.
And he got into the photo before CD knew what was going on.
The two of you have been fighting for the past day and a half on who is below who.
Yes.
You know, it's not who is doing better. It's who is doing worse.
Correct.
Who has made the biggest mistake?
Well, see, he's our limo driver, but then I brought in my own bus driver today when Jerome Bettis stopped by the booth. And, you know, it's just about one-upping Steve Linnea. That's my job.
We taped some interviews that we're going to try to run. I think later on in today's program, we're going to run an awesome conversation we had with Benson Henderson.
Yeah.
But yesterday was very hurtful, very emotional for me, and very awesome at the same time.
Okay.
When arguably one of my favorite athletes of all time joined our show.
Yeah.
And like I said, you know, it's up on our YouTube, I think, already, but we're going to try to get it on the show probably tomorrow, was Jim McMahon.
Man. Now, talk about taking you back.
Jim McMahon is in a wheelchair.
He is.
And so I did something that I rarely do. All right, let's, I think, yeah, we're getting ready to do it. So let's go hit a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the taste of the NFL. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Dave Parker from the Pittsburgh Pirates, and we're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
It all starts here. The Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, roars along the spectacular waterfront of beautiful downtown St. Petersburg. Are you ready? Be here. March 3rd to the 5th, the NTT IndyCar Series headlines an action-packed weekend of racing under the sun.
Scott McLaughlin, he is now an IndyCar race winner!
Advance tickets start at $25. Get yours now. The Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, March 3rd to 5th. Be here.
The Country Depot is located in the heart of downtown Brooksville at 36 North Broad Street. And they have everything under the sun, from one-of-a-kind art and decor to sports memorabilia, from metal signs and handbags to men's wallets. It's worth the drive. But you can also shop online at countrydepotstore.com. You never know what you'll come across when you visit. Country Depot.
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Jim McMahon, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Yesterday's guest, Jim McMahon.
Great liner.
Just got a text from Chuck Liddell. He's changing his flight.
Oh, coming early.
So that he can get here for tomorrow.
Love it.
All right, so I said about 15 minutes ago, the number one thing this week in Phoenix, the number one thing every week, Super Bowl week, is not Sunday. And I mean this. I waited to book my flight so that I knew if I was going to be going to my favorite event of the year, and that's the taste of the NFL. Let's welcome to the program Andrew Zimmer and Maureen Bausch. How are you both doing?
Great. Fantastic. Great. Thanks for the kind words.
And I truly mean this. It is my favorite event. I know that they've made some changes, which we're going to talk about. It's not the same chefs from the cities and such. But talk about your involvement, Andrew.
Well, I've been involved with Taste of the NFL for over 20 years. It is, to my mind, the best event of its kind. I agree with you. I think it is the most fun party at the Super Bowl. We have dozens and dozens of chefs, national caliber celebrity chefs, people you see on TV, the best local chefs from the Valley, activations with, CPAC students and, other various food booths, dozens and dozens of Hall of Famers, active players, legends, celebrities, you name it, 2,500 people walking around eating the best food, drinking the best spirits and wines, all raising money to fight childhood hunger in America. So, when you combine an event like that on Super Bowl weekend with the level of people that are here and attending, and it's all for a cause that I think, what's more important than helping kids eat? Anyone who's for childhood hunger, I think should be immediately evacuated from our planet. it's just there is nothing better in my mind than this event.
If there is anyone who is for that, yeah. I will get them a credential. Tomorrow at what time will Chuck be
when
here?
When Chuck is here to get their butt kicked.
Right.
Yes.
And Chuck will take care of it.
So, Andrew, I got to say, I'm in the hospitality industry.
Yep.
I own a pizzeria. I feed people basic nutrition, and it feels so fulfilling as a chef.
Yeah. Food people are the best people in the world.
So my question is, as the inventor of the pizza diet, who became a professional bodybuilder eating pizza.
I love it.
How many pizza... is going to be on Taste of the NFL? Like, how many pizzas have you had historically?
I don't know because, historically, there's frequently someone who does a pizza-inspired dish. Doing pizza for 2,500 people and have it be fresh and excellent, right, is a challenge.
For sure.
Right? So people tend to do pizza-inspired things. So one year, we had someone who did these wonderful little... baked pizzelle breads, right? Really, really, really nice. Coming right out of the warmer, super fresh, and then they hit them with a beautiful tomato sauce, melted cheese, and torched them and did a pizza element, which I thought was very clever, right? After the when people said there's pizza here, the line, I think, crushed them and overwhelmed them, right? I happen to be a pizza lover. I eat pizza every day of the week, and if I don't, it's a problem. So please, please inform me of this pizza diet.
Yes, sir.
Email me when we're done with this thing.
He'll take over the next 2 hours.
Yeah, no, that's why I said email me.
Right. But let's get more on Gen Youth.
Okay.
Maureen, can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Gen Youth is a national nonprofit. We work in 73,000 schools across the country to help those schools feed kids who rely on the schools for the majority of their nutritional needs every day. That's 1 in 8 kids, 30 million kids across the country. So our schools need equipment. They aren't, you know, this is almost a side job for the schools. So we help them with that. And we do other things too in the schools. We run flag football, if you're familiar, for the NFL and so on. But so the money, that the net proceeds, which is significant from TASTE, it's a culmination of our annual, you know, program, because we do this year round. TASTE is the capstone, and the money from TASTE will go into all 32 NFL markets. Mm. And it really is a great program.
Here's the, just to double down on something that Maureen said, you know, it's one thing to give a meal, right? It's one thing to give a couple dollars. When you're actually going into schools where the majority of children are, and you're creating substantive change by making permanent programs in there, that means equipment, staff training, the stuff that was taken out of schools that led to the problem that we're in, where school lunches became a-nutritive and not cost-effective and shamed children who didn't have money for lunch. When they go in and make those kind of substantive changes, that's one of the things that helps solve the problem. One meal, one kid at a time. So the work that Gen Youth is doing is absolutely without peer.
I don't want to get political or any of that stuff, but being an American, a veteran, all that, it's sickening to me.
Thank you for your service.
Yes.
You know, it's sickening that we have people in this country that can't eat.
Yeah, it shouldn't be. I mean, you know, this is the Marine cited the 1 in 8 stat. That is the official stat. No one raises their hand and says, hey, we're food insecure. A lot of people also don't know they're food insecure. They're skipping meals so that grandma can get medicine or the kids can eat, you know, meals every single day. So what I think is really vital to understand is that the problem is actually worse, right? Mm-hmm. And we've all seen it. We know it exists. We're in the richest, most fabulous country. You know, I'm as big a patriot as you are. We're in the most wonderful country on planet Earth, in the history of planet Earth. Yeah. That we have hungry children, we have hungry people wherever the public dollar intersects with food is shameful, criminal, and genocidal.
So I have to tell you one story from last year, what we did with the money from last year. And we couldn't do this without our corporate partner, PepsiCo, Quaker, Frito-Lay, Hormel, Hellman's, you name it, American Family. But we used the money to redo 6 high school cafeterias in the worst hit areas of LA. Because high school kids go to the 7-Eleven to get a bag of chips for dinner. We put in smoothie machines. We did all the things that allowed them to make their own food. Like, and the use of those cafeterias by these kids who desperately needed that quality of food shot up 60%. It was so successful that LA Unified went out and bought smoothie machines for every high school.
Really? Wow. That's
so it's those kind of programs that people don't even think of that really help to get the right food in the kids that need it most.
You said, let's not get political. I'm going to say, let's not get religious. But, you know, give a man a fish, right, versus teach a man to fish.
Right.
Putting that smoothie machine in, right, retrofitting school cafeterias, that's what I mean by substantive change.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're aware of this. You probably are. This is basically an MMA combat show that we do. We do everything, but that's my love. When I talk to fighters fight week, now they're cutting weight, so they're starving themselves.
That's right.
And you know that they watch the Food Network to get through that week?
It's pretty funny. I have a lot of friends who are in the sport. I'm a big fan as well, probably a super fan. I doubt that there's an event that goes down that isn't watched live or taped in my house. It's interesting when I meet fighters and combat sport participants, and we start talking diet and nutrition, you know, because it is very, very specific, especially with sports where you have to reach a certain weight. And it is incredible what that yo-yoing does. And we now find that people are seeking much more nutritive, permanent solutions to sort of stabilize a weight so they're not ballooning up and coming down. As a sidebar, we, partner and I, own a a catering company whose only clients are professional sports teams. So it's something that we're really head ass and overcoat involved in. It's pretty fun. It turns out that the biggest subgroup of food TV fans are professional athletes of all kinds, because they frequently have daytime hours free. They're at the gym. They're running. I just talked to Joe Montana a couple minutes ago, and he reminded me. He said, I'm the guy that watches you on TV all the time while I'm on the bike. He chooses to work out so that he can watch reruns of my old shows. I mean, that's hysterical.
It's definitely crazy. So speaking, who do you like on Saturday down in Perth?
Oh, my gosh. I know this is I've not seen anyone at the level of what Volkanovski has been able to do, and especially his last couple of fights.
Sure.
You look at some of the, I'll just say, older fighters, right? He's not a rookie, right? But you look at what he's done the last couple fights. If you don't tell me that guy knows how to get ready for this fight, I don't see how he loses. I really don't. I watched his last fight. I thought his hand speed alone was better than his previous couple fights that I saw him, and that was as fast as it is. I just, the mindset, I mean, look, you know, you guys do this, you know, for a living. People underestimate the mental aspect of this sport, or any sport for that matter. Any sport for that matter. And I think that's going to be the difference maker. I can't bet against Volkanovski.
My only concern is going up in weight. You know, when you they're both equal and you're going to go up in weight. I mean, look what Israel went up.
That's
the
right.
same thing happened. That's my only concern. So March 4th, John Jones returns.
Yep.
I already believe he's the GOAT. I told Dana on Tuesday, and he agreed. This solidifies if he wins.
Yes.
Does John Jones win?
I don't think he loses either. I just think he has been a professional for so long. He knows, I believe he knows in his heart, and this is where that mental part of the game comes in. Lose, and I'm the butt of jokes for the rest of my life. Win, and it cements I'm the best that ever lived. I think he goes in there. I think he's been training for a long time. He's been at this larger weight for a long time. I think it's scary to think about the kind of power that he has with a couple extra pounds. I mean, and plus, from a technique standpoint, from a mind game standpoint, look at what he's done to some people mentally, where in the first round, second round, he's just ticky-tacking, hitting them, touching them, touching them, touching them, and then bang. I can't bet against John Jones. I don't know how you do.
I think he's more scared about going home and his two brothers beating him up.
That's exactly right.
You know,
that's
so
exactly right.
I think you better make him a commentator.
I
really do.
The radio guy.
It's a lie.
The thing that I love even more. So I've covered the UFC since day one.
Yep.
UFC 1 I covered.
Yep.
UFC 11 was the first one I physically covered, and I've been to almost the rest. So seeing mainstream, and your mainstream,
yes,
being so passionate about the sport that I helped kind of get sort of kind of,
yes,
it means everything to me and to Dana, and that's what he said.
Well,
it's awesome.
Well, people turned me on to it, you know, and I was a high school wrestler. You know, then I became a chef, and that whole thing just went out. I discovered girls and drugs. And I had a natural aptitude for cooking, and my life went off in a different direction. But doing what I do for a living at a high level allowed me to meet different people in different walks of life, and I got turned on to this thing. I went over to Thailand, and I got into Muay Thai, you know, on trips over there where our fixers and other locals who were joining our crew while we were making TV would take me to the big matches and the big stadiums. The food over there is out of sight. I mean, you have to leave the stadium to go get it, but then you walk back in with, you know, incredible, you know, green curry frog's legs and, you know, grilled spicy chicken, and you sit there and you're watching matches. And it was explained to me. I learned the nuance of the sport from ex-fighters and current fighters who were there as my hosts. It was something that was, I will never forget. And I actually have a Muay Thai tattoo on the back of my neck that was given to me by a bunch of fighters at the camp where they had a tattoo artist who was there.
Willingly or unwillingly?
Well, willingly, but I didn't know up until the time they said, take your shirt off, that's what they were going to do. And it was done Sankyat style with a giant needle and ink that they made themselves. So I think that's where it started off for me. That was about 10 years ago, and it set the hook. and it never left. I think it's an ultimate sporting contest.
Have you done any training? Do you do any jiu-jitsu or anything like that?
I do not, but I look like I'm a badass.
That's a professional right there. I'll pay your $7.77.
I'll pay it gladly. So my question came up from that conversation about nutrition and education. Yep. We understand the need to feed children that have nothing to eat, but there's also another epidemic of childhood obesity. Is there a educational protocol along with
an adult?
Actually, our organization, Jan Youth, works in the physical fitness area too. And we provide equipment to the schools that will get girls more active, because that's a really tough demographic. 75% of girls by the age 13 are no longer doing any physical exercise. Wow. They're out of organized sports. And so we do flag football, which is for boys and girls. And then we provide, we call it Root for Her, kits for the schools for girls to get them into other kinds of sports that they might not normally try. So, yes, wow. It's both.
And you make a great point. I just want to add, those substantive changes that Gen Youth goes in and makes is to make nutritious, healthy meals for young people. They're not making, it's not a plate of mashed potatoes, cream corn, and French fries. You know, they're putting equipment in so that kids can have healthy, balanced, nutritious meals, a lot of vegetables, fresh cooked food, so that we're starting that nutrition and health conversation earlier in their lives than ever before.
Well, if I could be an advocate of pizza and lycopene enzyme and cooking food at higher temperature to release more antioxidants, I would love to contribute my services as the inventor of the pizza diet to help educate, to incorporate favorite food into a lifestyle. I became a professional bodybuilder eating nothing but pizza. GQ Magazine Elite Athlete of the Year 2016 honors. Wow. And I'm training currently at 46 to do a celebrity boxing match to show the power of pizza.
Oh, wow. That's
awesome.
But I love giving back to the youth and educating them how to incorporate science, macronutrients, moderation.
It's so important. And, there's 100 paths to health and wellness, right? I mean, that's what science will tell you.
Yes, sir.
Right? There's many, 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 many different ways. We're glad. I mean, I'm so grateful to be associated with Gen Youth that is actually picking one that makes sense for people. And then they can get turned on to specialized stuff like that. Let's get them body aware, exercise aware, nutrition aware. Let's feed them and then move forward with something that isn't, where they're not getting dinner at Walgreens.
Right.
God bless.
Where can people get information? Are there tickets still available for Saturday?
Yes, and there will be at the door, too. We'll keep a few back so people that spontaneously want to stop by can. But it's tasteoftheNFL.com. It's very simple. And if you can't go, we'd love you to donate because the program is year-round. But you'll see the chefs. The food is going to be phenomenal. It is come hungry.
Yes.
Come hungry because the chefs have gone. The chefs have gone all out this year. And
here's my suggestion: if you're not able to attend this year, you have a year to save up.
Yes.
And buy a ticket
to Vegas. Well, here's the other thing: we would love your dollars because it all goes to help kids, right? Because we have sponsors who are paying for everything else. But here's something that's as important. If you heard something today that's inspired you, just put tasteoftheNFL.com in an email and send it to everyone on your list and tell them you heard something important that makes a difference in the lives of young people in this country that's desperately needed. Because awareness and shining the light of recovery on the subject of hunger is going to end it permanently. Nothing else will.
Awesome stuff. We appreciate your time, Andrew.
Thank
Marie.
You. Thank
we will
you.
See you Saturday. We're going to get your address. We're going to mail you a care package from 8-Man Strong. It's a big MMA sponsor, so you'll do that, and we'll take care of that. We appreciate your time.
You.
We'll see you Saturday.
Fabulous.
Let's go hit a quick
Fabulous.
Break. When we come back, Steve Espinosa from Showtime.
I'll give you a car.
Really?
I'll give you a car.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Mark Wiley from the Baltimore Orioles. You're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, If you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-man strong.
Tour de Pizza is back as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza, Tour de Pizza. Visit us online at tourdepizza.com. And remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Cal Ripken Jr., and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back coming to you live from Radio Row. Look at you, always promoting yourself.
Ooh, no, I'm promoting to change lives. Hey. I'm committed to changing lives. What are we looking at?
Well, no, I thought we were getting Steve Espinosa on from Showtime Sports.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that who was just standing right there?
I think am I right there?
Well, now.
In the huddle? Looks like they're calling plays. They're sending out signals.
I don't know. Well, now, I guess they'll do the beginning of the top of the hour.
Okay. Man, what a great. Hey,
guys, how are you?
Hey, what's going on? How you doing? Nice to see you. Man. That's great to see you. Welcome to Knockout Radio. Welcome to Media Row.
This is going to be a two-part conversation.
Okay.
Two-part.
It'll be probably less.
Okay.
Steve Espinosa, sir, how are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
Let's talk a little Showtime Sports. Mainly boxing, has Bellator, obviously a combat station here. Mm-hmm. We're here, so talk a little bit about that.
Well, look, we've been in the sport of boxing for over 35 years. You know, I think we've established ourselves firmly as the leader in the sport. I've been there for about 11 years, most associated with, the big Floyd Mayweather fights. But we've developed Deontay Wilder, Tank Davis, the Charlos, Errol Spence. I mean, it's as a boxing fan, I think it's a great time. I mean, look, we all know combat sports fans are really hard on their sport. But I do think that, right now we've got as much talent in the sport and much great personalities as any time in the recent past.
You know, a lot of fans, a lot of media say boxing's this, boxing's that. Can we get boxing back to what it was in the 70s? And, is it there? Is it close to there? How does it get to that?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a mischaracterization. Look, when boxing was at its peak, I mean, really the biggest sports, in the U.S. were boxing, horse racing, and baseball. And why? That's because the NFL and the NBA weren't really on anybody's radar. Right. And then you saw late 70s, 80s, the rise of this. So no, you're not going to put that cat back in the bag, and get to that point. But when people say, boxing is dead, boxing has an old demographic, the reality is that's largely left over from UFC marketing. That's how they marketed when they first came out. Wow. Boxing's dead. We're the new thing. There's plenty of room for both. And when you look at the sport of boxing, it does very, very well. It's got, a lot of strength, obviously in the Latino market, the African-American households, a long tradition, multi-generational. Yeah. So I think, there's a lot of mischaracterizations about the sport, but it's as healthy now as it's been in a long, long time.
And there's always room for everything.
Sure.
And it's always bothered me. And yes, I'm an MMA guy. I love MMA. I've been involved in it from day one. But it doesn't mean I don't like boxing or cricket or rugby or any other sport.
No, I remember talking with some of the guys, back when we had Strikeforce and some of the Bellator guys now. There's not that rivalry within the sport.
Right.
I mean, this weekend we had the Fedor fight, the Bellator on CBS. I saw guys like Luke Rockhold there. Rockhold has always been a boxing fan and supporter. We talked about, maybe seeing him in the ring at some point, you know, and I think that would be interesting.
I don't know if you saw or heard, Fedor was obviously interviewed after, and somebody asked him, you know, a great career, what is the one thing, you know, that you missed? And he said, beating Ryan Bader.
Yeah, there is. Now, you know, and Ryan, another great personality, and, you know, and all those, you know, phenomenal guys. So, look, I think the sport is at a really interesting place, you know, both MMA and boxing. I think you've got Bellator, who is as healthy a number two as we've seen since the emergence of sure. UFC. And they've got, you know, some of the best talent that they've ever had in that organization. And I think boxing, you see more boxing on more different platforms than we've seen at any point probably in the last 30 years.
What is the big one or two boxing events coming up?
I would say, look, the one I get asked about the most is you know, Gervonta Davis, Ryan Garcia. You know, yeah. And that's been the yeah. soap opera, yeah. you know, day to day. You know, and it's funny. Part of being a sports fan has become following the business, the free agents and all that. But I feel like in the sport of boxing in particular, fans take more interest in, like, every minute detail of who said what and what emoji was posted and what does that mean for the negotiation. So there's a soap opera around it. I'm very confident that fight gets made. I'm hoping personally it gets made for Allegiant Stadium, you know, and I think that fight is big enough to be in the stadium. I think it's about time that you know, the Raiders had a big boxing match in that venue.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that fight could support it. So I'm very optimistic that fight gets done for April 15th.
Final question for you. As you sit back as the boss, can you watch a fight as a fan, or are you always, you know, you got the boss hat on?
If I'm not involved, so, you know, there have been some of the Canelo fights that I'm not involved in, you know, I'll go and, you know, have a drink. It's great. It's great to go. I want to have that rare occasion to go and have a couple drinks and be there and, you know, and root and not have to worry about, hey, is the signal going off air? Is, right. you know, is the feed going correctly? There's one thing I do want to mention. I want to tip you guys off to something because I know you're such combat sports fans. We have a phenomenal documentary series that's premiering in April 9th, about this fighter named Lee Murray. Lee Murray was, are you familiar with him?
I was in the street in London.
Okay, then you know.
I was there with Chuck Liddell. I was there with Tito Ortiz.
Then we should have interviewed you for the doc, because that's one of the great sort of urban legends of sports. Was Tito knocked out? Was he not knocked out? What happened there? Well, the thing with Lee Murray, you know, he wasn't such a big hit as a...
Do you have a couple minutes to stay?
Sure,
we're at the yeah. top of the hour. Let's hit the top of the hour. When
absolutely.
We come back, we'll finish this.
We got to
Steve Espinosa. We'll be right back.
WTAN Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.